Health, which is also a wood palace. Health and wealth are wood. So why are we talking water, fire, and wood in the first four palaces, since you're so interested in those palaces? And the reason is those are the palaces that are more, well, fire and wood are yang, and they're doing palaces.
I'm Michael Max, and this is Geological, the podcast that curates East Asian medicine and methods through the power of conversation. I'm going to start with a question here today, and this question is for any of you who find yourself struggling with money. The question is this: what is good money? You don't even need to take a moment to think about this. I suspect there is a first thought that's already flashed through your mind. Good money. It might be anything from enough money so that you don't even need to think about it because, well, there's always enough, to something like money. Well, that is the root of the problem with everything. And in between are all the colors of the rainbow in terms of perspective, practice, and stance. When I was a kid growing up and listening to the adults around the dinner table, good money meant that you had a job that paid you well, or you were able to harvest a good profit from the effort invested into a business. Good money meant that you had some stability to the source of your income. Good money was generally couched in terms of having plenty of it. And if you were the children of immigrants who scratched out a living in a country where you didn't speak the language and the dominant culture didn't really like you, well, having money meant you could have a family and make a go of things. Those immigrant ancestors, they weren't looking for self-actualization. They were aiming at survival. I grew up without the hunger and constant threat of violence that they did. For me, good money meant that I could enjoy the process of generating it. I had the privilege of considering money to be dirty and suspect. I failed to recognize that money was literally a medium for exchange, and that having something of value to exchange, well, that's how ecosystems function. Anything generative, it comes through mutual benefit and exchange. Money is a terrific tool. It's allowed me to generate possibilities, build clinics, and run businesses so that I get to practice medicine. It's what has allowed me to create the podcast that you're listening to right now. Money has allowed me the opportunity to contribute and hopefully make my corner of the world a little bit better. Good money at this point, for me, it means that I am able to receive in commensurate fashion to what I give, that there is a sustainable exchange. It means that I've got enough so that I can help others, and I can enjoy the harvest of my efforts. Because we know from the medicine that we practice that without harvest, there is no storage. And without storage, the wood of spring generates empty fire, as it's unrooted by the generative water of winter. Substance? That's what roots the spirit. So, again, good money. What are your thoughts? You can share them with me by visiting the website and click the engage button. Alchemy is the work of transformation. It's the method and practice of refining the unrefined. Some consider it to be magic. I suspect it's more about tried and true methods that help us to burn away misconceptions, errors that we think are true, and developing the capacity to hold ourselves accountable, especially when we don't want to. In this follow-up conversation with Lita Herman, we look at the first four palaces of the alchemical practice. Those first four, they're about getting your everyday life together. Without a firm grounding in this material world, it's difficult to do the more refined work of the spiritual realms. It reminds me a bit of something I heard Ram Dass say that stuck with me. He said, You have to have an ego before you can not have one. I take that as meaning that you need to be able to put on work boots if you're aiming at doing the work of a bodhisattva. We'll get into this conversation on practical principles and how to take the five phases from being curious concepts to tools for the kit. We'll be right back. Don't touch that dial. These conversations come to you through the generous support of our sponsors and members. All the sponsors here provide helpful products or services that you'll find beneficial in your clinical work. Worried that an EMR is too complex for you? Jane has friendly and knowledgeable support. Mayway Herbs is celebrating the 55th year of their family business. You're invited to make use of their vast library of resources. Are you concerned about the health of Mother Earth? AccuFast Needles is doing something about that. You can too. And later in the show, Ancestral Sturman offers up a sinew treatment, and the folks at Blue Poppy have something special to share as well. Do be sure to visit the sponsors page on the Geological website to take advantage of all the special offers our terrific sponsors have for listeners of the podcast.
Hi folks, I'm Yvonne Lau, president of Mayway Herbs. Our family business turns 55 this year, and we wouldn't have gotten this far without the love and support of our community. We're truly grateful and promise you that we'll continue to work hard to support you and your practice. Please visit Mayway.com to find the perfect Pumsar brand formula or formulate your own in our dispensary. Our site also has lots of articles, videos, and herbal recipes for you to explore. And tune into our podcast, Chinese Medicine Matters, for insightful discussions on all things TCM. Learn about treatment strategies and powerful herbal remedies. As we welcome the month of May, our focus is on women's health. Our newsletter articles and podcast episodes this month will highlight different aspects and unique challenges women face. So subscribe or tune in. And if you're a practitioner, get a discount on our women's health formulas this month. Just visit Mayway.com. This season and every season, trust Mayway Herbs for your health and wellness needs. And thank you for supporting Real Chinese Medicine.
I love how technology can help to automate my office, and I want to share with you my favorite tool for doing so, Jane. Jane is a clinic management software in EMR with a human touch. Whether you're switching your software or going paperless for the first time, the Jane team knows that the onboarding process can feel a little overwhelming. That's why with Jane, you don't just get software, you get a whole team. Included in every Jane subscription is their award-winning customer support available by phone, email, and chat whenever you need it, even Saturdays. You can also book a free account setup consultation to review your account and ensure you feel confident about going live. If you're interested in making the switch to Jane, head to jane.app/switch to book a one-on-one demo with a member of their support team. And be sure to mention the code CHEOLOGICAL at the time of sign up for a 1 month grace period on your new Jane account. I don't know about you, but sometimes I take a step back and marvel at my acupuncture needles. I mean, they're the world's simplest medical tool, a sharpened wire and a handle. That's it. And with this simple tool, hundreds of health conditions can be resolved. I love it. What I didn't love was the amount of packaging waste I generated at the end of the day. But that has now changed too. Ever since I switched to AccuFast Earth-Friendly Needles, I reduced my packaging waste by 90%. Not only are they a great needle, but the folks at AccuFast plant a tree for every two boxes of needles I use in the clinic. By switching to AccuFast Needles, you'll be helping patients, planting trees, and joining a community of practitioners changing the world. Like our simple needle, being a part of the solution, it's simple too. Visit AccuFastNeedles.com/geological to learn how. Lita Herman, welcome back to Geological.
Thank you, Michael. It's great to be back.
I am so thrilled to talk to you. I had such a good time chatting with you about alchemy a few months ago. If I was a really good podcast host, I could tell you the name and number of that show, but I can't remember. It's on the feed, so y'all can go check it out.
Yes, go check it out.
And today, we're talking about what you call the four palaces.
Yes, well, they're the nine palaces, and then there's four that we call the dominoes.
The dominoes.
Yes, because if one of them goes down, it takes down the nine.
I like that. So this is really key, pivotal stuff.
Yeah, you know what's so cool about them? They seem sort of simplistic, but they're actually the key to turning the five elements from just being a curiosity into tools for living, you know, more meaningful lives. And once you start to understand that, like, the five elements are related to these nine palaces, and this is about how do I live my life, then you're in a whole different, you know, ballpark in terms of, like, what all this stuff means to our daily lives. Like, what does it mean? Or to our clients, you know, as Chinese medicine practitioners, you know, why are the five elements important? You know, a lot of TCM people, you know, they didn't, you know, get as steeped in it as five element, you know, schools. And so, you know, most people I meet still want to know a lot about the five elements. You know, they love it. But why? You know, why are they important?
Well, I think it's foundational, isn't it? I mean, the five elements, look, regardless of the training you got, whether it was a 5E school that focused, you know, Worsleyan kind of thing, or your basic common yard dog TCM school, there's no one who studies acupuncture that doesn't have an exposure to some degree to the five phases. It's so foundational to what we do. Now, you can take it and make it into a fetishized thing, you know, which might be more the curiosity piece, like, oh, this is cool, and let's dream into what it might be. I love what you're talking about, where there's a way of taking this and utilizing it so it's not just a groovy idea. Ooh, it's spring. Let's start something new. But to take it as, like, oh, there's that, you know, that spring energy can show up at any moment if you can recognize it. So what you're talking about here, taking it as tools, making it real and usable, tangible. It's not just a groovy idea. It's the way things work.
Yeah. And the nine palaces in particular require that the practitioner have a conversation with the client. It's not just, you know, stick the needles in, leave the room. As you're doing the needling, you're also having conversations so that people can begin to look at, like, heart pains they have regarding these nine palaces. And that can often, again, dovetail with the elemental type they are. Doesn't always. But a lot of times, if you're fire, you're just obsessed about relationships. We all have clients who just come in and it's like, you say, well, how's work? And they're like, well, my husband said, blah, blah, blah. You know, I mean, they can't sort of get off the topic of that. Or a water person can't get off the topic of their career. That's what their whole focus is, the career and the wisdom that they get from that. And so you might say, well, how's your relationship? And they're like, well, you know, I go to work a lot, so I'm kind of neglecting that. Or, you know, I mean, it could be many, many scenarios.
Yeah. Who needs relationships? I got work.
Yes, exactly.
I've got a relationship with work.
It's really cool when you start to kind of piece this together. And we like to think of Chinese medicine in this realm as, you know, a conversation with the person, you know. Not just about, oh, my elbow hurts and I'm going to put needles in here, but, like, you know, what's going on in your life that maybe is contributing to the pain?
If they're open to that kind of thing. So often I find people come in because something hurts. Would they come in, right? And as that gets taken care of, we're in the process of exploring that. Of course, they bring everything else about who they are. And the thing that I love about East Asian medicine and the perspectives that it gives us is we can start to cotton to, we can start to see, we can start to understand, we might see other connections that they don't see. It's our job to see those. And sometimes it helps. Sometimes you can just, in the conversation itself, it's like, oh, you got this knee pain, but you've also got this part of your everyday common life that you're just not handling and you're just not supporting yourself.
Exactly. And so that's why, you know, at least having this in the back of your mind, it doesn't have to be like explicitly, you know, brought out for the client unless that's something they're doing. But to have that in the back of your mind, and then there are even treatments in alchemy where you're actually treating according to the nine palaces. So we could get into that later if you're interested.
Well, I'm very interested in these four palaces. And the reason is, and this was a off-recorded conversation that you and I have had. And one of the things I like and am attracted to about alchemy is that it talks about the mechanics of change in some powerful ways. As a younger person, I looked at things like alchemy and I thought, oh, if I just do this alchemical thing, I'm going to get a bypass on some of the nitty-gritty things I need to do in my everyday life, like make sure I'm making enough damn money, make sure that I've got my relationships in order, like make sure I can do everyday life and not blame other people and not blame the system and not blame anything, but turn it back on myself and go, look, if I don't have this thing handled, I can't get my bills paid. Like, I need to handle that. And attempting to do something at a higher level before you handle those lower ones, I just don't think it's even possible. And so you were saying, yeah, well, that's the four palaces. That's the everyday life. I love how you say dominoes, right? If you don't have those dominoes working, man, the thing falls apart. It's a house of cards.
Yes, because a lot of people, like maybe they just travel. They just want to travel. They're neglecting all the other palaces. Travel is a metal element palace. And, you know, all they care about is the global perspective and adventures. And, you know, but if how do you do that? You know, how do you live that life and not have any of the others? So travel's a little more advanced. So if you want to, I'll just explain. The first four, the four you're talking about is career, which could be knowledge as well. And then the second one is relationship, which we can sometimes call love. The third one is health. The fourth one is wealth, or we sometimes just say abundance, because it could be a wealth of time, a wealth of support from other people, you know, all kinds of wealth. So that's the first four. And then the last four is travel, which is that global perspective. Children, which we also call creativity, because sometimes our children are our books or our artworks or whatever you're creating, a company, whatever it is, a practice. And then wisdom, which we can talk about how wisdom is different than knowledge and career, but it's your experiences. And then the last one is prosperity, which you only get after you have enough. You can't give away unless you have enough. So those are the last four.
Oh, I know. And it's such a mistake that so many of us make. Like, I just need to give things away. Well, if you don't have anything to give, like, that's a tough spot.
Yeah, because then, you know, if it's at the point where you're giving away and then there's, you know, nothing left for you to then, you know, give away in the future, it's not really prosperous. So I just gave you eight. So there's one in the middle. And that's the most important palace, is the one in the middle, which is really, even though it's the fifth palace, it's also the last palace in terms of your evolution. Because we put this in a grid and we put the fifth palace in the center. So guess it what? It's the earth palace, of course, because it's in the center. And it's home. And it doesn't just mean your house. It means your spiritual home, your spirituality. And so this is where, if we, you know, not only make sure the first four are doing well, then we have to work on the second four, then we can go home. So, you know, if you're playing Trivial Pursuit and you're working your way around the whole, you know, outer edge, then you get to go back to the middle, or you get to go to the middle. That's what we're doing, home.
We had a game when I was a kid called Chutes and Ladders.
Yes, yes. Yes, and Parcheesi was one that has the, you know, around the middle, around the outside, and then go to the middle. So that's what we're doing. We're checking off. Okay, I got my career. Good, check. I got my relationship. Yay! My health is great. My wealth is coming together. I got to travel to the place I've been, you know, dreaming about. I'm having children or creative projects. I feel very good there. Now I feel like I'm gaining some wisdom. I'm feeling prosperous. Okay, now I can go home to my spiritual home.
Okay. I would postulate that having your home, your regular, everyday, like roof over your head home together is absolutely essential. I mean, it sounds like these first four palaces are about having your home together, having your everyday, live in the world, responsible citizen life together.
I think that's another reason why home is fifth, even though it's, you know, I say it's the last, but it is fifth in terms of your life. You're working through these things. You know, you go to school when you're a kid, you gain knowledge. You start to have relationships with other people, not just your parents. You know, you're in your 20s and, oh my goodness, my back hurts. What the heck? My health. You know, I need to think about my health. Oh, I've got a job now. I'm starting to get my wealth together. Now I can have a home.
Starting to get my wealth together or not. Maybe you've got a job, maybe you don't. Maybe you've got three different jobs to try to get the bills paid because you actually don't have your career piece.
Right. One of my favorite age groups to work with alchemy with is the 20-somethings because they really are going through this major transformation, like an alchemical transformation, whether they like it or not. You know, if they got to go to college, like, you know, college is kind of take care of you. You have a home at the college. So maybe they just went to high school and were home until they're 18. But if they're moving forward out of like a college age at 22, now they have to go figure it out. And that's a lot of work. That's a lot of transformation. Who am I? All of these, you know, deep things that they're working out. And by the age of 30, it's just incredible how most of them figure it out. They might not be perfect, but they're moving on. They're talking about children all of a sudden. It's like, whoa, what happened? You know, 32, 33. Wow, they're really starting to talk about children, which is that next set of palaces.
Well, I've heard it said that our prefrontal cortex doesn't really completely develop until about the age of 25. And I sure wish I'd known that as a younger person because I might have taken a little more care. When I look back at my life, for sure, like ages 24 to 26, dramatic change.
Yeah, dramatic for a lot of people.
Complete 180 turnaround for me. So yeah, there's a lot going on there. Lita, what would you have to say to folks who have a bad opinion of things like a full-time job or making enough money to take care of themselves, even the idea of money?
Well, that's what's really interesting about Chinese medicine. It's not really, you know, especially the nine palaces, it's not judgmental. So career/knowledge is there because not all of us need a career. Hey, you could be independently wealthy. Okay, so your parents gave you tons of money. Do you need a career? No, but you need knowledge. Everyone needs knowledge. There's no exceptions. I mean, obviously we could have a brain injury or some kind of, you know, thing from childhood that impacts our ability to have knowledge. But for the most part, human beings need knowledge to survive. So it really doesn't matter. So the career doesn't have to be a means of living, but it could be. And a career could be something you love to do that gives you meaning, right? The meaningfulness. Or it could be just a job that gives you wealth. There are lots of different things there to think about.
Okay. You just said something that really sort of sticks a pin in it, no pun intended for me. Meaning. That it's about creating meaning. That it's essential that we in some way create meaning for how we go through our days.
And the nine palaces are fundamentally that you die with a sense of fulfillment and meaning and satisfaction. So if you can sort of work through how to balance all these things that every human being kind of needs to attend to, where you feel like you feel satisfied, that's what's important. So some people, the career, I mean, they're not water. They don't care. You know, they're just trying to make a buck, you know, because something else is way more important. That's up to the individual. We can't judge that. But at the end, if they have no unfinished business when they die, you know, that's kind of the Taoist goal. No unfinished business. And this is what the business is. So the nine palaces is the business.
Let's take our focus here. Let's try to stay in the first four, because foundations are so critically important. And what are some things that we can do in each one of these palaces to help us be able to finish our business? Maybe even know what our dang business is so we know what to work on.
That's great. Well, yeah, okay, so let's go with career, because it's the first one. So it's a water palace. And so we have to talk a little bit about the five elements when we go through this, because we need to kind of understand that a water person is going to prioritize meaningfulness in their career. That's going to be really important to them. And they also, you know, this is something that they strive for. And also they use the career to get to the higher level palace, which is water, which is wisdom. So if they choose a career that they feel is meaningful, important to them, feels like their destiny, then they can move on to the wisdom palace. So this is where they're going to be situated. So if we're going to talk about water as well, there's another factor, which is trust, that goes with the water element. And trust is also about, you know, the power that water has to always do things at precisely the right amount or the right moment in time. And so career is one of those things that I watch water people negotiate. It's very fascinating. A lot of people are say, oh, that job's no good for you. You should switch to another job. And they'll say, okay, and then they won't. And literally like 4 years will go by. But they are patient because they have this like ability to trust that at the right moment, they'll make the move. And the opposite can happen. They might move very quickly and they might be like way quicker than other people would think, but they got that they trusted and they got the indication, oh, now's the time to move. So careers are interesting to watch the water people negotiate that. For the rest of us who aren't water, you know, the career palace is definitely that domino palace, because if we are really unhappy with our job, for whatever reason, no matter what element you are, it's very likely the health palace is going to go down, and likely the wealth palace if you get fired or you quit or, you know, whatever else. So these palaces are very much affected. I mean, somewhat the relationship. If you lose your job, maybe your spouse leaves you. I don't know. But, you know, it's possible. I mean, Lu Dongbin is a famous alchemist who had a dream. I don't know. Do you know the yellow millet dream?
I do not.
Okay. I think he was probably 20, whatever, three, or, you know, on that brink of becoming an old, you know, reliable, responsible human being. And he was trying to pass the exams for the civil servant. And so he's cooking millet, and he didn't know it, but the immortals were playing with him, because he becomes an immortal later. So they were giving him kind of a test, so to speak, but he didn't know that. So he's cooking his millet and he falls asleep kind of like in a daydream. And he dreams 18 years of his life going forward. So in that dream, he passed the exams. Yay! He got the most amazing job. Yay! He married a wealthy woman's, you know, a wealthy woman, her family was wealthy. Yay, he got, you know, he got the woman that he wanted. He had two lovely children. He got promoted and eventually to the highest level of the ministry. He kept getting promoted. I mean, this was the life he was, as a 20-something, he was dreaming of. But then people got jealous. They attacked him. He got fired. His wife left him. The kids were killed, and he was left on the streets penniless. So he wakes up, and he goes, oh, wow, why am I working so hard for this? You know, class, this studying. Why am I working so hard for this if that's how it's going to end? And that was when he kind of took a shortcut, you know, spiritual bypass in a real way. But with the help of the immortals, he saw that he really wanted to live a spiritual life. I think in the end, he might have still passed the exams and stuff like that. But he had a different focus in his life. And sometimes that can happen. We can shortcut things like that, especially the nine palaces.
Hello everyone, Anne Cecil Sturman here. A working knowledge of the eight extraordinary channels from the unbroken oral tradition of acupuncture is valuable beyond words. The power of these channels is tremendous if the practitioner has well integrated diagnostic, theoretical, and practical skill. You'll be familiar with Dumai, the governor channel or the Sea of Yang, the primal reservoir of Yang, which ultimately finances all movement and growth. But this channel also governs the ability to self-determine. The psycho-emotional presentation of your patients can be matched to a classical activation of this channel, clearing impedance in the free flow of Yang Qi to body, mind, and spirit. I'd like to share with you the marvelous potency of the Du channel in a full-length live treatment video from the seminar I taught last year in Melbourne, Australia. It's at annececilsturman.com/sinews2024. Click on the Jump to Free Teaching button or see the link on my Instagram page at annececilsturman. Thanks, Michael. Back to you.
Let's dig into this for a second. That's a great story. I'm imagining 18 wonderful years, right? That's not a bad run. That's not a bad run. Now, here's the thing that's interesting to me about that story. And I mean, this is a very Zhuangzi kind of story because there's always secondary unintended consequences. And you just pointed one out, and I think it's very real and something that's not often talked about or considered, but the role of jealousy. I mean, people can be jealous and envious. It's like, well, how come this person has something I don't? It's not fair. Well, that person worked really hard to pass that exam. That person worked really diligently in their job. They rose to a place of power. They're in a place of power. Look, there are people to get to places of power. Unearned, let's call it, or through corruption. That's true. It happens. But what also can happen is through doing your good work in the world, through the merit that you accumulate, you can rise up, but that is not going to keep the jealousy of others at bay. I think it's a cautionary tale that you can do really well. You can be doing all these things to take you through your palaces here that can also generate these headwinds that come from other places.
Also, what's behind that story is the concept of heart pain. So each of these palaces generates heart pain. It's perfect. So if you have a career and people get jealous and you know, they do something devious, you get fired. I mean, that is heart pain. You're going to have to grapple with that sometimes for the rest of your life if you can't figure out how to deal with that. So I always say there's a ghost point for heart pain called Ghost Cave, which was pericardium 8. And it's about this pain related to the palaces that we store in our hearts. And I always say that the middle of the heart is the empty space where the blood flows through. And what happens is we clog up that, you know, empty space with a lot of heart pains. I call them like old dusty couches that we refuse to let go of. Like, I'm still harboring the anger from when I was in my 20s and people were jealous and they did this thing to me and I lost my job. Like, I'm still mad about it. That's one of the dusty couches in their hearts. It could be the jilted lover, you know, my love of my life cheated on me. So that's the relationship palace. Now there's another dusty couch in there. And you know what happens when arteries and hearts kind of begin to clog up and you get blood state. I mean, this is health related, right? This becomes a health issue.
Absolutely. It manifests in 3D reality for sure.
So each of these palaces has heart pains that you could just refuse to let go of because you're pissed or you're sad or you're, you know, whatever the emotion is that's keeping it there. That's what these nine palaces are about. So what we're really trying to do is help a person feel that level of satisfaction, not regret, not retribution or whatever, you know, those feelings are that are making that stick for a long period of time.
Would it be fair to say that, again, I want to keep in my focus on these first four palaces, I think in part because it's taken me so long to pull that stuff together. You know, it seems fundamental and essential. And it sounds like each one of these is going to bring its, you know, you get your career, you get knowledge, you get to generate meaning. You know, that kind of thing. You know, relationship, that brings wonderful connection. It can also bring horrible heartache. And like you were saying, each of these will have its heart pain. Each of these will have the wonderful thing that you harvest. And each of them will have, I don't know if it's fair to say, a shadow aspect or a secondary unseen consequence. The way that society may or may not appreciate what you're doing, the way your family may or may not appreciate what you're doing. And just because you did all the right things, it doesn't mean that, okay, now it's clear sailing. It sounds to me, when you do all the right things, there is shadow stuff that's going to come up. There are troubles that are going to come up. And it seems to me that's a piece of the process, isn't it?
If you believe in the idea that we have a curriculum, this is a Taoist concept, that we come to this life with an agenda, a curriculum, what that means is we actually want the difficulties, because otherwise we wouldn't actually be working on our lessons. So, you know, maybe we don't want the worst difficulties, but often those difficulties will highlight whatever elemental type we are. So our difficulties might be in career if we're water, our difficulties might be in relationship if we're fire. You know, hopefully we overcome that. Hopefully we learn the lessons we came to learn and we have a sense of fulfillment specifically in the palaces that we really came to work on. That would be a Taoist concept. But it's an interesting way to really look at the nine palaces. All nine are important to every human being because we all have to kind of negotiate. You know, if you're not fire and you have a relationship, you have to actually put some time into it or the person's going to leave you. You know, if you don't balance it, guess what? It's going to end. But to actually start to see that there's something bigger here, something more important that we're trying to achieve, we're trying to learn, we're trying to experience in this lifetime. That would be how the Taoists look at the nine palaces.
Sounds a little Kabbalistic as well. What little I've read about the Kabbalah, there's this idea that it's the difficulties and learning to let go of our reactivity, not take things personally, and the more difficult the experience is that you're learning not to be reactive to, the more light you gain.
And that's exactly what happened to Ludon Bin. So once he saw that he cared so much about all these things, career, you know, relationship he cared about, his health, his wealth, these were those four you're talking about. And the dream showed him, wait a minute, you're going to have a lot of heartache. So what about working on that reactivity? And then he had something called the 10 trials, which the immortals put him through, where he had no reactivity, none. He went through 10 horrible scenarios, and he was like, you know, so they burgled his house. He lost everything. He just went out in the field and started digging potatoes. Like, well, okay, grab a shovel. Let's go eat some potatoes. Like, he didn't flinch that everything was gone. In fact, he dug up some gold. And he, you know, most people, if they dig up gold, they're like, mine, you know, yay. He put it back. He put the gold back because he thought, oh, that's not mine. That's someone else's. He didn't need it. He was not reactive to the fact that he was penniless.
So in some ways, it's the challenges of getting the things that we want, experiencing the secondary things that happen that we don't want.
Yeah. And these nine palaces map to two acupuncture channels.
Only two?
Only two. And so the heart is the nine points that show you the curriculum, the path, the way that if everything went well, this is the path you're going to walk. And the pericardium is the difficulties. So as I'm walking this path, now I'm hitting this difficulty and I have to deal with that. And if I can't, then I create a heart pain. And that's the pericardium's job. Ideally, the pericardium resolves it. That's actually the pericardium's job. We don't want it to hang on to it. So the pericardium's the one that's constantly going, well, that's okay because this. You know, it makes excuses.
Sounds like the ego.
Yes, you could say that for sure. And it's trying to navigate this crazy life that the heart set out to have. Or maybe you should say the spirit, you know, in the heart channel.
It seems to me that the troubles are unavoidable. I mean, if we're really here to do the work, and so avoiding money will bring you one set of money problems. Having money will bring you a different set of money problems.
Absolutely. I have clients I've worked with who are very wealthy, and I would say the number one palace that's out of balance is their wealth palace. So it's not about how much money you have. It's about your obsessive mind. And so we know if you don't have money, you might be obsessing about money. But if you do have money, are you like, you know, Gollum in the ring or the dragon sitting on that hoard of gold? Like, that both are maybe... No judgment here, but maybe a little out of balance.
Yeah, for sure. And the question is, in what this is what I love about Chinese medicine. In what way is it out of balance? Right? It's not just like, oh, out of balance. Well, that tells you nothing. How is it out of balance? Now you got something to work with.
Yeah, the question I ask people is, you know, do you feel a sense of abundance? Which could be time, it could be wonderful people in your life, it could be, you know, so many ways, nutrition, just the food you get to eat, or obviously we go to wealth, we go to money when we talk about wealth, but really is like, what's the feeling you have internally about it? Do you feel taken care of by the universe? Really, that's abundance, that there's all like a trust that there's always going to be something else for you to get sustenance, basically, you know, go out and dig a potato.
This is so interesting. A trust that the universe will provide. At the same time, the universe is generously not providing it to you so you can go do something about it.
Right. Yes. And that is interesting because it's a wood palace. So if we're going to talk about now a wood palace.
I'm sorry, which one is a wood palace?
Abundance and wealth.
Okay. Actually, let's stick with walking through these first four. Talk to me about relationship.
So relationship is the fire palace, and it's about basically grappling with love. Fire people want love, and they're very good at giving it. But what happens is they want it so much that they can then make giving it the way they get it, which is not really authentically loving. I love you because I hope you love me back and I'll receive it. So what you're looking for is sort of more like they become, as they resolve it, where their love going out in the world is like spiritual healing. And they can love even if they're not getting it back. And that's how you kind of begin to resolve it.
So you're talking unconditional love, conditional versus unconditional.
Yes, absolutely. That's the fire realm. And it's a tough one because fire people, on the one hand, end up in abusive relationships because they're so unconditional. Oh, you can hit me and I'll still love you.
But is that unconditional, or is that I'll let you hit me because then you'll stick around and I'll feel like I'm loved? So is it really unconditional? It sounds like it's, if they're doing tit for tat, I'm going to do this so I can get some love back. That's not unconditional.
Yeah, it's really true. That's a good point. And then the other side of it is that they won't be with anyone because they look at, you know, everyone is having a flaw, not being able to see, you know, unconditional love. And that can happen as well. It's like they're on the dating scene and they, you know, they won't even go on a date because they look at all the profiles online and go, ugh, horrible. Or that person's not, you know, whatever. So anyway, so this is the playground they're in. They're always working on love. They're always, you know, even if their health goes way downhill, they're still going to talk about love. If their wealth is struggling, they're still going to talk about love. This is very common. So that's fire and the relationship. And the next one is health, which is also a wood palace. Health and wealth are wood. So why are we talking water, fire, and wood in the first four palaces, since you're so interested in those palaces? And the reason is those are the palaces that are more, well, fire and wood are yang, and they're doing palaces. And water, being double yin, is also a doing palace. It's kind of alternating between doing and not doing, so it has a lot of yin. But eventually the yin is very powerful, so it's the one that is our motility vessels, you know, bladder. It motivates us to walk our destiny. So those are the three first four palaces we're talking about. So we're not even talking about metal. We're not at earth yet.
This is interesting. I just want to interject this for a second. The first two that we talk about, water, fire, that's the Shaoyin axis right there. Very fundamental aspect of being a being alive in the world is your Shaoyin axis, your heart and your kidney, that communication. So very vital. Here it is in your first two palaces. Like, you don't get that one together, you don't get to get to anything else. And then we go to wood, which is the sunrise.
And wood is the mediator between those two. Yeah.
Or you could say earth is as well. I mean, depending on how you want to draw it. But yeah, you could make a good explanation for either of those working. I'm also thinking of wood as being the sunrise, the beginning. Right. Once you've got your Shaoyin axis together, now you got something to work with to go somewhere.
Your marching orders. That's what wood's about. It's like, what are we going to do? So for health and wealth, the wood element, they are the ones that gets us, you know, out for a walk or a run or a bike ride. They're the ones who are saying, hey, we have to attend to the body's needs. The body needs qi flow. They're very focused on diet and, you know, what supplements they're going to take or anything related to their health. So this is something that, like I said, you might not really be paying attention to when you're a kid. But when you're a kid, you're moving your body, you're eating a lot of food, you know, you don't even have to think about it. And that's, you know, perfect for wood. It's like the strength of who you are is what allows you to start those new projects like the sunrise to be able to, eventually the wood goal is to be great. So they're building, there's like fundamental building blocks. A lot of them are athletic. They want to be great in their bodies and be athletes. So this is from the health palace. There's no other reason, right? I mean, yes, you get some kudos, you get maybe a medal at the end of your athletic, you know, journey, but really fundamentally you're in top shape. This is what it's about. It's about the health palace. And then the second palace that's wood is wealth. And again, it's about what am I going to do about it? This is what you were talking about in the beginning. Like, what am I going to do about it? And wood is about decisions. It's about strategies. It's about, you know, I have to strategize this. I can't just go willy-nilly like a water person in any particular direction that, you know, the wind blows me. I actually have to think about this, come up with good strategies, and execute them. And that's the power of wood. And that brings the wealth.
It can, maybe, depending on...
If you're wood.
Well, no, depending on what strategy you choose and how well you execute it. I tend to see all of us as having some kind of balance of these five phases. So, you know, I hear you using phrases like the wood person or the water person. And, you know, I get it. There's that idea that there's a constitutional predilection, and I can see that. Beyond that, and part of what I think is so fascinating about what we're talking about with these palaces is we're talking about the development of a human being through these different phases so that we get the capacities of these phases to allow us to be a, in Chinese they call it a zhenren, right, or a true person, a full, completed, actualized, capable human being.
Yeah, and we actually call that connecting your circle. So we say that you have all five elements within you, yet this is the belief system that you're born with a certain order of those. So you have like preferences to be maybe water first, but you have a second one too. You have sort of a backup plan. Your second element is the one that rescues you when the first one's not working for you. And your third element is the one where you get stuck when everything isn't going well and your life is, you know, just a disaster. You're in your third element. You're trying to, you know, like, and it's not the pretty parts of the element. Like if you're metal, you think it's all your fault, you're a piece of crap, instead of respect, right? Instead of honor, you feel the opposite. So it would be the negative. If you're fire, the third element is going to be nobody loves me. It's like a deep despair. Or, you know, we can go on and on with all of them. But the point is being that, you know, we have all five elements. It's just, so I agree with you. It's not so important that you're just wood. But to understand, again, the interrelationship with your first and second element, especially with these palaces, or even the third one, because guess what? The third one, your third element might be those palaces that you're really struggling with. You're doing great. Your fire you have, great. It's the relationships, great. But the third one, your children, which is a metal palace, maybe it's a disaster. Just an example.
In recent years, the Siam acupuncture style has generated significant interest and a loyal and growing following. In the Siam approach, a precise diagnosis leads to a four-needle treatment to address the five element and six qi imbalances in the body. The four needles target the controlling and generating cycles. It's common using this method for the needle sensation to be stronger than in many other styles. Thus, the choice of needle becomes important. The Unico brand of needles lends itself to both strong and gentle techniques. These superior needles are made of uncoated Japanese surgical stainless steel and feature the best guide tube on the market with its unique beveled edge. Additionally, Unico needles have a tensile property that helps with freehanding needles into Jingwell points and allows you to more easily feel the arrival of qi. Blue Poppy is the exclusive importer and distributor of Unico needles. Use the code QI2024 to save 10% off Unico needles at www.bluepoppy.com. You'll be glad you did.
Well, going back to what we were talking about earlier, that there's a curriculum, there's something to learn, whether you believe there's a curriculum or not, you live long enough, you're going to build yourself a dang curriculum just because of the way you are, right? And part of successfully navigating that is to take those obstacles, learn how not to be reactive to it, right? If you're the heart type and that's your, you know, number three, and you're like, I'm no good, nobody loves me. Well, you work on that. Everything else is going to fill out in a completely different way.
Exactly. We don't want to be held back or limited by the nine palaces. We want to understand how to live, you know, how we might be living in conflict with our nine palaces instead of in harmony with them. So it's exactly what you said. And that really is the Gen Ren. That is the authentic human being who figures out how to be in harmony with all of them.
Well, it sounds nice, but the process is troublesome, isn't it? I mean, on a good day, look, anybody can be equanimous on a good day. Anyone can be kind and considerate and thoughtful, whatever. Fill in the adjective of your choice on a good day. It's on the difficult days that shows you your true mettle. So back to these first four, again, it's so foundational. I mean, and you can never get enough of the basics, I don't think. What are some things that folks can do when they run into trouble? When maybe your water is your number three, right? You've got something going on with your career or your knowledge that you need to work out. It's a big trouble in your life, right? Or, you know, maybe there's something going on with your health that, you know, your wood is your number three. What are some ways of taking those, I'm using air quotes here, obstacles, also known as opportunities, grumble, grumble, opportunity, but opportunity nonetheless, because it's one thing to sit here on a nice day when I've got the thermostat basically set to springtime in my house, so it doesn't matter how cold it is outside, and, you know, I'm fed and, you know, warm, and I'm having a lovely conversation with a delightful person, right? It's all nice to be able to talk about when things are going okay. Help us with when it's really like down in the troubles, how can we alchemically turn some things around so that we get our fundamentals like worked out?
This is what we call alchemical life strategy work. And we do train practitioners how to release obstacles with the nine palaces. The number one trick that we've found doing this with many, many people is the palace you think is the issue is often not the issue.
It sounds very Chinese. It sounds so Chinese medicine-y to me, yes.
Yes. So you come in and you're all about this career issue. The boss is nasty. The people are uncooperative. You can't get anything done. You're working long hours, whatever the story is. So all the nine palaces, they have story. So you tell your career story, and it's a sob story, right? Fine. No problem. We all have it. And then you dig a little bit and you find out it's the partner. Everything was the partner. Da 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 da. Or it's the obsession with money. You took this job because it paid a little bit more, and you all of your alarm bells were going off, and you didn't listen because you had those dollar signs in your eyes and you didn't follow your true path, for example. Or, you know, you won't quit because of money, even though now your health palace is in serious trouble. And so it's not your health palace that's the problem. It's not even the career palace that's the problem. It's the obsession with money that's the problem. So you go back and look at what is going on with the money. You don't have to do it from a wood perspective. You can just do it from, hey, you know, where in your lifetime did it all become about money? You know, oftentimes it was from parents who taught you that or told you that. Or maybe it was you were bankrupt in the past and you're never, ever, ever going to go back to that. But now you've made all these compromises for yourself that were inauthentic. And so now, hey, that's a tough, you know, pill to swallow for someone to actually admit that to themselves. But as you kind of gently, you know, work on, you know, how are we going? Maybe some pericardium points, because there's a lot of heart pain there. Maybe we can get some things to release, and then they can go, oh, there's so many jobs out there. Why am I doing this to myself? I could have, you know, 10 other jobs, but I'm like, I won't let this one go because I can't resolve it. I can't resolve it. I'm stuck in it. Like, I'm just like a gerbil in a wheel. I can't stop this track.
I can't stop this track. And here's the other piece that I think is probably there. Let me run this by you. There's something I'm getting out of it. That it's awful and it's terrible and I hate it. And I'm letting everybody know how much I hate it. And there's something that I'm getting out of it. There's a payoff in there somewhere. Does that make sense?
For sure. And sometimes it's another palace. Again, it's not always the palace you think it is.
These are not the palaces you're looking for.
No, exactly. That's perfect. These are not the palaces you're looking for. Absolutely. I do think wisdom is something that's a good example of, because I do believe sometimes people pick the wrong quote unquote career for them. But later in life, the wisdom they got from that is a huge payoff. They might not see it at that point, but destiny wise, maybe who's to say that was a detour from their destiny's path? Maybe it was exactly what they needed, even though it was really uncomfortable. But they got to where they needed to be for some other, you know, how many times can you look back in your past and go, oh, that's, I needed to do that crazy thing I did that was, I regretted. But wow, thank God that happened, because I wouldn't be where I am right now if it wasn't for that.
For sure. And again, I may be sounding a bit like a broken record. There is part of the discussion we had earlier that it's resolving the difficulties that take us forward. It's really nice when life is smooth, but that doesn't help us move forward.
Because we want to learn those lessons. We want to resolve that difficulty. That's, you know, that's the theory in Taoism, that we want the difficulties on some level so we can get to the higher level lesson that we came for. I mean, that's, you know, not everyone's going to believe that, but that is the idea behind the nine palaces for sure.
Well, I've certainly noticed that the things that I need to pay some attention to that I don't want to pay attention to, they don't go away. What are some other ways of digging in to those troubles, facing them, learning to become less reactive?
Well, that kind of makes me think of the heart pains treatment. I don't know if you want me to talk about that more like from an acupuncture point of view, or we can just continue to talk about your own life, you know, in general.
I'm curious to hear about it from the acupuncture point of view, partly because a bunch of dang acupuncturists are listening to this, and partly because any acupuncture treatment or herbal formula is a little bit like a poem that points at something else.
There's two philosophies of how to treat these nine palace heart pains. One is that you could very kind of simplistically map out the numbers that are associated with the palaces, 1 through 9. So career, relationship, health, wealth, home, travel, children, wisdom, prosperity. So that's 1 through 9. If you map those out to the points on the pericardium channel, you can actually treat those points for the palaces that you think are the person's having difficulty with, if you think you know which one they're actually having difficulty with. Not my preference, because I think it's a bit of a stretch to map them. Personally, I've tried working with that. I'm not going to diss it at all if someone's out there doing that and it's working. I think that's something you have to cultivate, a relationship with pericardium 1 through 9 that is that relationship. I've cultivated a different approach, which is that all of the heart pains can be resolved through any of the pericardium points. And rather than try to map it to an individual palace, looking more at how the pericardium points actually can help resolve the heart pains. So, for example, a very simplistic one would be pericardium 9 at the tip of the middle finger. So if you think about the most defensive posture in the world, the most heart protected you could possibly be, what is the gesture we use to tell someone off in the world? It's the middle finger.
Oh, to create a boundary.
Right. So I don't think that's by accident. I think that, you know, the middle finger is this pericardium 9 point, which is really like back off and a feeling of isolation and aloneness. So it is that place that pericardium can take us to when we've really, really struggled, where there's no one on our side, where we are completely alone. And we've been there, a lot of us. I mean, it's pretty hard not to be human and have never felt that feeling at times. And so the question is, you know, if someone walks into your clinic and has a lot of heart pain and this is what they're presenting, then pericardium 9 might be the best.
Interesting.
Whereas, you know, pericardium, yeah, we can go through some other points. You know, there's others as well. But that's how I prefer to look at the resolution of the heart pains due to 9 palaces.
For sure, in our culture, the middle finger means something. Other cultures, it may not mean the same thing. But certainly in ours, it does. But beyond that, what I think I hear you saying is you want to give people the capacity to create some kind of boundary for themselves so that whatever is impinging on them, it's like a shove to the chest, right? It's like someone stepping on your toes and you've asked them to get off your toes and they're not getting off your toes. You take both hands, you push right on their chest and push them away. That's what it sounds like the energy of this is.
And I think the translation of that from Chinese, because there are statues outside of temples in China that I've been to where a general or a warrior is the statue and he has both middle fingers up. So it's not quite the same gesture in that case, but I think it's what you just said. It's boundaries. It's like cast out the evil spirits kind of, you know, gesture. That's my own interpretation. I don't honestly know the full depth of it. I haven't studied that, but I feel like there's something very important about that symbol. And again, pericardium 9, like it, I just think it's a coincidence, but not a coincidence that, you know, in China, they made that gesture. Here, they've made that gesture. And it's not like an angelic gesture. This guy has a gruesome face. Yeah.
I have seen those images, especially in Taiwan, where they really, you know, go for the imagery. It's usually the index finger and the middle finger together, but it's not facing but the palm's facing forward. So it's kind of like a wart off symbol. Because in the other hand, they've got a sword or a halberd or, you know, something they're gonna chop your head off with.
Exactly. Yeah, like a sword finger. Yeah, for sure. Sword fingers, yeah.
So something about boundaries to give yourself some space. Okay.
And so, you know, that would be one thing. So if we're going more for, let's say, pericardium 6, the inner frontier gate, that's a little bit more that kind of hurt where we're still really open. We just want someone to come say, you know, I really do love you. And, you know, obviously, you know, that would be like a fire example, but it could be a metal person just wanting someone to come say, you know, you are really great and we really respect you. We honor you. You know, so it doesn't really matter. I'm just giving you different flavors of what that would feel like. But that inner frontier gate, not willing to open up, not willing to just, you know, wanting to, but that's too vulnerable. And so that vulnerability of the inner frontier gate sort of gauging, is it safe? Oh, it's not safe. Oh, is it safe? Oh, it's not safe. And so if the heart pain has to do with, you know, this feeling of, I know I could maybe get there, but I'm just too vulnerable. I want to put myself out there, but no, I can't. I can't allow that opening to happen. And so if the story, remember, every one of the nine palaces has a story. So in this philosophy, it doesn't matter which one, it's what's the nature of that story. Is the pericardium involved in maybe making it so much more difficult for the person to achieve what they want? Here's an example. A metal person wants to give their knowledge and become like a teacher, right? Not really easy for metal people to stand up and be like the teacher, and they love it, but it's effort for them to be a little more young. They do it because they believe that they need to be an upstanding, respectful, honorable person in the world. So they'll do that. I like to say they're perfect as the judge sitting on a bench, because they don't have to say much. They just have to, you know, sort of keep the courtroom organized and then give the sentence. And that's perfect. But to actually like do more, to be a teacher, that's gonna challenge their pericardium, because they're now gonna have to maybe even open the outer frontier gate, you know, triple heater. So it could be, you know, really struggling with this idea of the pericardium opening and the triple heater even. And so it'd be so much easier just to say, screw it, I'll get another job. But they really want to teach. And so this would be an area where the career seems to be the issue. They're not doing what they really want to do, which is teach. And then you sort of see that story, that sob story about it. And then you see that it's really coming from this very vulnerable place. I'm not going to be good enough. I'm not good enough to be that teacher. And that's not true.
Well, it might be true. It might be true. I mean, in the beginning, anytime you start something, are you good at it? No. Right? Think about your early podcast. I think about my early podcast. How were they? Like, maybe I should go re-record, you know?
Yes, I know. I was telling you that before we started. Yeah.
Yeah, for sure. In the beginning, we're not that good at whatever it is we're setting out to do. That's just part of the game.
But to let that hold you back is the question.
Yeah, well, it sounds like you need some gallbladder fire to maybe bust it up.
Yeah, wood would help.
Wood would help. Yang wood, not yin wood. Yin wood's going to keep you closing. You need some yang wood. Fire it up.
And for metal, if we're just going to go from a metal perspective, you know, part of the healing of opening the pericardium up, you know, is to come back to the metal nature, which is, you know, the power of metal is this awareness through presence, just showing up. That's more important than what you do. So the presence of a metal person, again, the judge on the bench is so perfect. There's such a presence of that person that we, the rest of the world, are so affected by. And so to allow that person to open up to sort of the awareness that it is just showing up, and it's not about how good you are. The good is that you showed up and you were present. That would be a way metal could resolve that career palace issue.
I think a lot of us face this in our clinical practice. There's the what we do, and we should be competent in the what we do. There's also the how we are in doing the work. And both of these are important. Finding that balance is, it'll take a decade or two.
Exactly. And so I think that, you know, moving into how to work with these heart pains and the nine palaces, most of the time people are going to come in talking about the four that you're talking about. You know, sometimes going to be talking about the upper four, but most of the time it's going to be related to the first four. And then it's if you want to take on this idea of an alchemical life strategy kind of coach as a practitioner, then you dig a little bit. Well, why is it that story's happening? Tell me more, you know, tell me about, you know, maybe, you know, it's the wealth, and, you know, you have to kind of pick around a little bit. And even just that little bit of discussion can shift something for them once they see it. And that's really cool. We have a workshop in the Alchemy Learning Center that we've done called Releasing Obstacles with the Nine Palaces, or removing obstacles with the Nine Palaces. Exactly what you said earlier. This is about the obstacles.
What's in the way is the way.
Yes, this is the way.
Great.
That's great.
Well, Lita, it's always a delight and very thought-provoking to spend a little time with you. We'll have some information on the show notes page if people want to get in touch or learn about all the other things that you've gotten. You've got a podcast. We'll make sure. Well, just tell people where they can go get that. Probably anywhere, right?
Yes, it's Inspired Anywhere. It's called Inspired Action Podcast, and inspiredactionpodcast.com if you want to go to the website. And then, yeah, we do it as often as we can, and we enjoy it a lot. And, oh, I do that with Jay McElroy, who is the person who does a lot of the Nine Palaces work as well. She's the alchemical life strategy coach. So
terrific. Thank you for the putting our feet firmly on the foundation today. That was wonderful.
Yeah, it was wonderful. I love the focus on the four palaces as the gateway to the rest. So thank you.
I had a big interest in alchemy and shamanism when I was younger, and I think it was because I wasn't all that capable of a human being. I didn't know how to make money other than work some crappy job. I wasn't very good at talking to other people, and my critical thinking skills, and for that matter, productive imagination back then, all pretty weak. I thought something like alchemy, or having access to shamanic worlds, that would give me the fruit of the skills that I was lacking. Of course, I had it completely backwards. It's having the capacity to do everyday life, learning to grow beyond deficiencies, gaining competence where skill is needed. That's what helps with making everyday life work. Once that comes together, there's no need for shortcuts, because it turns out that what's in the way is the way. It's the troubles that point the way towards what needs development, and then having the courage to do something about it. The first four palaces we discussed today, it's a great place to start for any endeavor. Thanks as always for listening. If you liked this conversation, if you learned something new, or found a moment of inspired insight, share the episode with your friends. If you want to support Geological, there's just one way to do that. It's by going to the website and becoming a member, or leaving a one-time contribution today. Well, folks, that's it for today. Join us again next Tuesday for another conversation that connects up the voices of our community.